Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this Thanksgiving study titled Our Pilgrim Journey. We met at Bible Believers Fellowship in Worthington, Ohio on Thanksgiving Eve 2019 and took time during our study to look at what the Bible says about our own pilgrim journey and how the early American pilgrims provide both good and bad examples for us to learn from as we take our cue from the original pilgrims found in Scripture. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our attention by email. Send those to bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can send letters along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Again, that's P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also make donations at our website, BBFOhio.com. You use the PayPal donation button on the right hand side of the screen if you are using your computer, or if you are on the mobile site at BBFOhio.com, you would use the drop down menu and click on the PayPal donation link. We now begin this study, a Thanksgiving study titled Our Pilgrim Journey. This is part one of two. All right, current events update before we get into the study. Prophecy is being fulfilled with, as we see, the growing number of godless who refuse to be thankful to God. And it's just an interesting thing I've noticed in the last few Thanksgivings. I don't know if you saw, it's not a big like mass movement, but it's a growing number of people who are trying to say we shouldn't even celebrate Thanksgiving. And well, that's what their argument is. This was a article a couple years back on the Christian Post. Nearly 40% of Americans do not thank God on Thanksgiving. That's a pretty good chunk of people. 57% give thanks to their family. About a third thank friends. 8% thank themselves, while 4% thank fate. Now, the fact is that 40% are also being more vocal and more militant. That's the difference. Is there's, you know, probably always been that many unbelievers, percentage-wise, but they're just becoming so militant and vocal. This is an article in Today on Yahoo News, but it was originally in HuffPost. And the title is, I'm Not Blessed, I'm an Atheist, and I Don't Need God to Give Thanks or Show Gratitude. I don't need God to give thanks. In other words, they kind of got it backwards there. She's thinking that, you know, giving thanks, we're giving thanks to others because of God or something. That's not what it is. I couldn't find it, but I had a video clip where they went out. You remember jaywalking? Jay Leno used to do that. And this was more recent. I can't remember who was did it, but they went out and said, "What? Who were the pilgrims giving thanks to?" And the majority of people said they were thanking the Indians or Native Americans. And even the ones who didn't say that didn't know that the purpose of the first Thanksgiving by the pilgrims was to thank God. And the first Thanksgiving proclamation by George Washington was to thank God and thank Providence, as he used his Freemason language there to. But it's still, it's not thanking the Indians, it's not thanking each other or families.
And we won't waste time on the article, but ironically, when I looked down to see the views, reactions, it just so happens there were 666. Just a coincidence, but I just thought that's funny. But that's a fulfillment of prophecy about the end times. Paul is giving us the inspired words of God in 2 Timothy 3:2. He says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Now, I wish I could say that was just the unsaved people. It's been a long time coming, going back early or mid-90s, listening to Robert Schuller, Crystal Cathedral, being interviewed. And the guy interviewing said, "You're preaching people should love themselves." "Yes, yes." He says, "But the Bible says that's a mark of the end times, that men will be lovers of their own selves."
"Well, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean you should preach it."
Robert Schuller said that. And it's just gotten worse since then. And they announced Lifeway Bookstore. Lifeway's closing their stores. They're just going to be online now. Wow. Good riddance. Yeah. Last several times I went in there, most of what I saw was crap. Yeah. Amen. You're doing people a favor shutting down. But that's what, if you look it up, positivism. That's what most of what passes for Christianity today is positivism. And we did our study a while back, and I showed that's what Hitler was setting up in Germany. Hitler hated Jesus Christ, the Bible. The Bible is a Jewish book. He hated the Jews in the Jewish book, the Bible, etc. But he was trying to establish a new religion, and it was called positive Christianity. That's what Hitler's program was. They don't tell you that. You barely ever see anything on the Nazis and Hitler where they tell you that. But that's what we've got today, is Hitler's version of Christianity in America today. Positive Christianity. So there you go. We can still be thankful for the fact that we have freedom to gather with Bible believers and have Bible study and all that. But there are a lot of professing Christians who claim to be Bible believers who are just pathetic. They are not attending churches when they could. They don't. They're not active. They don't take part in things. They don't support it financially. And everybody then looks around and wonders why America's going to hell. It's the local churches that have kept America from going to hell. And as goes local churches, I'm talking Bible-believing local churches, so goes America. And as all these people who claim to be Bible believers, they're empty. They're all talk. And they're just watching local churches go to hell, and they don't lift a finger to change things. And that's where we're at in America today. But we can be thankful we still have the freedom for those who will come together and gather. So let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get in our study. Father, we thank you, Lord, for again, this time we could spend together and open this book and study. And we do lift up those requests that we mentioned earlier. And Charlie mentioned this lady, Brenda, with glaucoma. And there are, I'm sure, other requests those couldn't be here would share. Unspoken requests weren't mentioned. Lord, we lift all those up to you and now ask you, help us to focus on this book. By your Holy Spirit, help us to understand. And help us to truly be thankful for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, tonight we're having a Thanksgiving themed study, our pilgrim journey. God's Word presents our lives as a pilgrimage. And you save yourself a whole lot of heartache. I'll tell our youngins here, Johnny and Jenny, Charlie, but most of the older ones are learning or have learned it by now. If you think that you're going to get real comfortable in this world, forget it.
Amen.
You get used to the idea this is not your home. You're really not supposed to be comfortable in this life. So what you can do is you can be comfortable at times and thank God for it, but don't expect it to last. Some people say, you're preaching the power of negative thinking. So be it. I believe realists are much happier than people who fake all the time. The positive thinkers are fakers. Always walking around acting like they're happy. And those are the ones that blow their heads off. Or hang themselves. Or get on some kind of pills and then they just go whoop-de, you know, and you never see them again. You never see the real person again. I just think you're better off looking at things realistically. Now, there have been some things happen to me along the way that I didn't expect to have to deal with all that. But that's another thing is don't get to where you're just not surprised by anything. don't be too shocked by anything you see. Pilgrimage, according to Webster's dictionary, in Scripture is the journey of human life.
Amen.
That's it. I love that. I didn't know if I'd find that in there. You won't find that very many places referring to our lives scripturally as a pilgrimage, but that's exactly what we're going to see. Let's start over in Genesis 47:9. And I just love this story of Joseph. And Jacob and the other 11 boys and the rest of the family have all come down now. And Pharaoh's talking to Jacob. And it's funny because it's almost like Pharaoh's looking at him thinking, this fella, he's old now. This fella has been around. I'm curious. And verse 8 says, and Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And I love the answer, Jacob, in verse 9, Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Why? Why does he say few? He explains. And have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Why? Well, you know, Methuselah was only 969 when he died. And Jacob here is 130 and feels like 900. As I joke about it, I just turned 50 this year. 50 going on 80. That's how I feel a lot of the time. And are you raising your hand being blessed by that comment, Doug? Oh, okay.
Folks say, hey, Doug, how are you doing? I said, yeah, it's your world. I am just passing through.
Yeah. That's right. But I just, we'll move on, but I just want to point that first passage out. Jacob refers to his life as the days of my pilgrimage. Now, I guess if he's going to make a good Christian soap opera, that'd be a good title. As the sand through the hourglass, so are the days of my pilgrimage. Do you remember 700 Club tried a Christian soap opera? How many of you remember that? You say, why do you remember that, Greg? Because my mom watched it. But I can't remember what it was called. There's some trivia for you. You get to go on Jeopardy. Trebek might ask you that question. The place where God puts you is the land of their pilgrimage. That's the Bible says where God puts you. God puts you here in Ohio. Ohio is the land of your pilgrimage. Look over to Exodus chapter 6 and verse 4. And the Lord's talking to Moses, verse 1, telling him what he's going to do to Pharaoh. That's a good story if you never read that. And I mean, you know, a lot of us learn this stuff in Sunday school and everything. Boy, you just sit down, take your time and read through that story again if you haven't any time recently. And guess I was go to verse 3. It says, and I, he, Lord's talking, says, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And then he says in verse 4, go ahead and read that with me. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And so the land of Canaan, don't let anybody tell you that there's only one type for everything story in the Bible. There, that you can actually see in Joseph, he is a type of Jesus Christ. Most of the time when there's types related to Joseph, but do you know that there are few places where Joseph is a type of the Antichrist?
Yeah.
And we talked about that in our Genesis studies, but here, Canaan. Canaan, some people say, well, it's a type of the Christian life. At times it is. But it is also a type of the, I believe, of the promises of the millennium. Or some people just say heaven. And so a lot of the times in our hymns, you refer to Canaan land as heaven.
Amen.
And there'll be others, these guys get up here and correct all that. No, they're half wrong. Because there are times where Canaan is about our pilgrimage.
Amen.
But there are times where it's about heaven. And I love those songs. Play them here once in a while. The Gaithers have some of the Vestal Goodman singing some of those, and the Cathedral singing those songs.
Amen.
Canaan land is just in sight.
Amen.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. But your physical body then, okay, your life is a pilgrimage. Your land, the land you live on is the land of your pilgrimage. Your physical body is called the house of my pilgrimage. And of course, you learn in the New Testament that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Peter talks about this tent. And so it's also referred to as the house of my pilgrimage. Turn over to Psalm 119. We're going to turn to Psalm 119, and I'm just going to have Brother John Allball recite that from memory. I'm sure he could quote a good part of it. But Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And if you just go through Psalm 119 and highlight the really, really good ones, and you'll still have a bunch of them. But in verse 54, read that with me. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And your body is your house in real terms. And on our pilgrimage, saints of God are called a pilgrim. So it makes sense. Your life is a pilgrimage. The land is that you live on is the land of your pilgrimage. Your body is the house of your pilgrimage. And that's because you're a pilgrim. And again, you won't find this in most dictionaries, but the number two definition in Webster's 1828 is in Scripture, one that has only a temporary residence on earth. Now, could you imagine opening up the secular dictionaries and seeing that? You won't. But that's why we always recommend going to Webster's Dictionary 1828.com, or we've got a copy and you can get them. Sometimes you can find people selling them cheaper than what Johnny, I think we were talking about. I think they're about $50 if you buy them new or something like that, $75, something like that. It's kind of expensive. Worth it if you can find a good deal, though, especially. Free of charge on the internet. Let's look over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And verse 13. The Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11. And I said verse 13, yeah. I'm just going to have you read it with me. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that's the reference to the, specifically the context here is talking about Old Testament saints, and they're all listed there. And it says, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, through faith also Sarah. And then after verse 13, you'll see by faith Isaac, or Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses, and so forth. And these all died in faith. They didn't, it says they not having received the promises. Today, I think we'd say if we die before the rapture, then we had died without receiving the promises. But I hope you can see those, the promise, it may be afar off, or it may be just a little further off than your death. May not be too long, much like if you die today, it may not be too much further down the road. But are you persuaded? Have you embraced the promises? Do you confess that you are a stranger and pilgrim on the earth? If you're a Christian, that's all supposed to be true about us, you know. Amen. We believe the promises. I get it all the time from people who just think we're crazy for believing the Bible, for believing the rapture, for believing the virgin birth, for believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead, the coming millennium and eternity in heaven and all that. They think you're crazy. And that's why you're called a stranger and a pilgrim. Because that's the way it's been all along. Amen. I mean, woe is us. It's getting so dark and there's so many people who mock us and there's not as many believers and there's not as many good churches and all that. Well, you just need to read some more history and you'll find out you're just part of the crowd. It's the way it's been all along. Pilgrims are also strangers, as it says there, strangers. And folks, I say this with all the love I can muster, but you all don't get, they don't go, get no stranger than these people right here. That's why I love you. Yeah, you're a strange crew. And I'm not talking about the bad jokes or good jokes. I'm not talking about the way you dress or, you know, whatever. It is different. When I come in the doors here and hang out with you people, it is totally different than it is when I'm other places. And if I thought that was normal, then I would have to think you're a bunch of weirdos. Yeah. But see, the reality is, I like this. You's my people. I go out there, those are the weirdos to me. You know? And Jenny and I talk about it once in a while when I turn something on TV, and you're like, what in the world, man? What is wrong with these people? And you just turn on the local news, and I DVR it because most of it's not news, and then you can skip the commercials. But, you know, I watch one or two news stories, and like there's the one about the farmers spreading bio waste and stuff. There's a report on Channel 10. Great news work. I appreciate good news work. That wasn't good news, but it was good news reporting. And then everything else is just garbage and blah. Then there's the weather, and then there's sports, and I'll catch like what they talk about college football or something, and that's all I want to hear. I don't care about the other stuff. So we take a 30-minute broadcast, and it's about 12 minutes. See? Been a good steward of time. But once in a while, if I let it play a little bit, they'll start into something else going on. And I just like, what in the world is wrong with people? It's just crazy. And I go on and on about what's going on, but it does make you feel like a stranger if you get out a little bit. The last time I went to one of the community festivals, and you just walk around, and you're like, at first you, yeah, nice people, smiling and everything. And then after a little while, you're like, a couple of men holding hands, and somebody walking around. And we were at ComFest. We went down there to hand out tracts, and women walking around without a shirt on and everything, and that kind of thing. You're just like, what world is this? I had just moved to Columbus, and I started taking Dakota Bus. And then we're driving past the Capitol building. First time I'd driven past the Capitol building since I'd moved up here. I'd seen it as a kid. And I'm like, oh, wow, there it is. And so I'm looking out the window. And all of a sudden I look, and there's like 200 or 300 women without a shirt on. And everybody's like laughing and everything, because trust me, there are people who nobody wants to see that. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And a guy says, I'd been talking to him. I told him I just moved up here recently. And he's just laughing. He says, welcome to Columbus. And I felt, I was already a little homesick. By that point, I'm like, man, maybe I should just pack up and go home. These people are crazy. Well, I've been here since 1990, off and on. I moved away for a little while. But they've just gotten even loonier. You ain't getting no better. And thank God the Bible tells us over and over that that's really the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to feel like that. Don't think there's something wrong with you. You know, when you feel like it's just, I hear it all the time from Christians. It's hard to make friends. There's not, a lot of people they can hang out with. They, the singles, finding a good single to, it's all over the place. You don't feel like you're alone. It's everywhere. And thankfully, the scripture tells us that that's the way it's going to be. Look over at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2:11. And by the way, I found out that the reason those women were doing that is because technically it's legal. For women to walk around without a shirt on. And they were just, enjoying their freedom. Yeah. Yeah, that's no shirt, no shoes. Men or women have to have a shirt on. But anywhere a man can go, that's, women's rights. I'm in agreement there. I mean, Jenny will tell you, we'll be driving down the road and she'll be like, oh, I didn't want to see that. Some guy out there mowing the grass without his clothes on. But 1 Peter 2:11 is one of these passages I just love and I'm thankful is in the scripture. Read that with me. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And it's course, much more a wonderful passage, but we just want to look at it. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. In other words, you just are. If you're a Christian and you don't feel like you're a stranger or pilgrim, there's something wrong, because you are. And sadly, some Christians...
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.